The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Please be seated. Last week, we really focused in on the possession. The Lord is my shepherd, and he's my shepherd because I am his. He's my shepherd because he purchased me, because he bought me with his own blood. We are not, if you're in Christ, you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, your mind, everything that you are, because you are his. So the Lord is my shepherd. We talked about his possession. We talked about his provision as well. I shall not want, or I shall not lack. God's going to take care of all of your needs. He will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. And you may not always have everything that you want. You may not always have everything that you want, but you will always have everything that you need. Everybody still with me? We have conversations about that at our house from time to time, the differences between needs and wants, right? And you think I'm talking about the kids, we're really talking about Melissa and I. Found a good deal on a motorcycle this morning. I know, right? Now, I can't go to my wife and say I need a motorcycle. That would be dishonest. But it depends on how you define needs, right? No, the Lord said, having food and raiment therewith to be content. Paul said, I have learned to be content in whatsoever state that I am. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. I know how to have plenty and I know how to suffer need or want. I know how to be in a condition where things are really good and where things aren't so good. But God supplies my need every time. I've learned to be content with whatever God gives. And let's just be honest this morning. God has blessed everybody in this room and anybody watching online with far more than we need. So he's our provider. He gives us everything that we need. Today we're going to focus on this phrase. You see it a couple of times. We read, he leadeth me. He leadeth me. There's a great old hymn that goes by that title. He leadeth me, O blessed thought. We have a God that is leading us. The almighty creator of the universe not only loves you so much that he died for you even though you're a sinner, but he wants to be in your life every moment of every day to guide your every thought, word, and deed. Isn't that awesome? And God, listen, I don't know about you, but I think wrong, talk wrong, and do wrong on a regular basis. And I have a heavenly Father who is my shepherd. I have a Savior who is my shepherd who wants to lead me and help me walk in paths of righteousness. He wants to help me walk in the right way. I want to tell you this morning, this is God's protection, part of his protection. So we saw his possession, his provision, now his protection. And I want to tell you this morning, you can follow him in paths of righteousness. In this sin-cursed, dark, sinful world, there are paths of righteousness that you can take when you follow your shepherd. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? I don't know if you're aware of this, but we live in a sin-cursed world. The world around you is corrupt. It's full of spiritual wickedness and darkness, and yet there are paths of light that you can walk on. That's pretty remarkable to me, that there's even a chance to do what's right in this world, and yet he is leading us. I want you to notice that he says, he leadeth me, which leads me to some questions I want to ask today. First of all, who is leading you? When Paul wrote to the churches of Galatia, he said to them, who did hinder you? He said, you began running well. You began in faith. You began by grace. And now you're moving away from the spirit and you're walking in the flesh. And he says, who did hinder you? And the answer, friends, is that there are always people who are trying to lead you. Somebody's always trying to lead you. The devil wants to lead you. Satan wants to get you to follow him. In our Sunday school class this morning, we talked about Eve and Adam. We talked about Genesis 3:15, the first gospel, that the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. We talked about how all that came about. But I want you to get this. The devil led Eve into temptation and sin. And he wants to lead you into temptation and sin. Okay? Some people may not think about that. Some people may think they're immune to that. But I'm here to tell you this morning that the devil is after you. We read verses about how he's a roaring lion that walks about seeking whom he may devour. And we get the idea that he just wants to attack us. But the way that Satan attacks us is to show up as an angel of light and to make things look good. He likes to make things look righteous. He likes to make things look like it's the right thing to do and lead you into sin. Your outward man, or we might say your fleshly desires, want to lead you. Did you know that if you're born again, the Spirit of God lives inside of you? Yeah, I know. Did you know that? If you're born again, the Spirit of God indwells you. He lives inside of you. And the Spirit of God that's inside of you, the inner man, is quickened. It's made alive. It's new. And the inner man has a desire to walk in righteousness and holiness. The inner man that's inside of you, that heart that Jesus has changed inside of you, wants to follow him in paths of righteousness. Is that true? Okay. If you could just like nod your head or something, it'd be cool. Okay. So the inner man wants to follow the shepherd, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, but the outward man, the flesh, wants to go the opposite direction. God's Spirit's leading you this way. Your flesh is leading you the other way. So not only do you have the devil that's trying to lead you, you have your own fleshly nature that's trying to lead you, and your fleshly nature wants you to follow something else other than the shepherd. Amen. Your fleshly nature does not want to walk in paths of righteousness. Your fleshly nature wants to go against God and wants to go in paths of sinful pleasures and desires. Your flesh and your carnal mind say, I want the pleasures of sin for a season, rather than knowing the better choice and saying, I would rather suffer with the people of God for the things of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And so we have our fleshly desires that want to lead us. Did you know that the world system and the culture around us want to lead you? Would you believe me if I told you that the world systems have ways of getting to your heart and mind and that they have an agenda? Would you believe that? The world system and the culture around us has a way to reach you. We typically call that media. And the world system and the world culture around us have forms of media that are designed to inform you, entice you, and lead you in paths of unrighteousness. It's in all the media that you consume. It's in books, magazines, music, shows that you stream, movies that you watch, videos that you play on TikTok or YouTube or whatever you watch. There are systems of the world that are trying to lead you in paths of unrighteousness. But if the Lord is your shepherd, if, like David this morning, you can say, the Lord is my shepherd, then you can also say, he leadeth me. He leads me. He leads me, and he's leading me away from the world, the flesh, and the devil, and he is leading me in paths of righteousness. Now, some of you this morning are like, listen, I'm not a follower, I'm a leader. I don't follow anybody. I'm going to help you out today. All of us are following somebody. And by the way, as a Christian, you should be following someone. As far as leadership goes, if you're in Christ, you are followed, you are called to follow him. And any leadership that he entrusts to you exists to help other people follow him. Okay? Okay, I'm a pastor, so I'm a leader. I'm a husband, so I'm a leader. I'm a father, so I'm a leader. I'm a Bible teacher, so I'm a leader. There have been lots of positions that I've had in my life where I was in a position of leadership. I want to help you out. Any position of leadership God entrusts to you, the only purpose he gives that to you ultimately is to help other people follow him. It's not really about people following you. It's about you directing them to him so that they can follow him, so that they in turn can use their influence to help people follow him. In other words, it's all about him. It's about the shepherd. Who is leading you? So if you had to answer that question today, what would you say? David could say, he leadeth me. My shepherd leads me. So who's leading you? And I think if you were honest this morning, you could say, well, it depends. And I woke up this morning and I prayed and he was leading me. And then my brother said something stupid to me and then my flesh was leading me. You guys understand what I'm... I woke up this morning and I read my Bible. He was leading me, but then I scrolled through Facebook and then the world was leading me. I'm just saying, we're kind of all over the place. We have so many voices and so many things trying to lead us, and I just want to encourage you today that he is leading you. You have to decide to follow. He's leading you. So then we have to ask the question, if he is leading us, then how does he lead? How is he leading me? Because if you get the analogy right, then you got the shepherd in the field, and there he is with his rod and his staff, and he goes out. I told you the story about how the shepherd would often, when he would lead his sheep, he would go out in front and he would sing to them. He would talk to them. They would hear his voice, and they would follow the shepherd. Right? So you get that picture. The shepherd's leading, the sheep are following, and you go, well, how is he leading me? Because I can't see Jesus with my eyes. I can't hear Jesus with these ears, but I know that he's leading. Well, of course we know he's leading primarily through his word. Okay, if you got your Bible, just take it in your hand and hold it up. This is how he's leading me. This right here. This is it. This is how he leads me. People all the time, I talk to Christians, they're like, I have no idea what I'm supposed to be doing. I feel so lost. I'm like, well, when's the last time you read your Bible? It's just, if you're never in the Word of God, you're going to have a hard time hearing the voice of God. And if you're telling me you're hearing the voice of God, but you're not reading the Bible, I'm concerned about the voices that you're actually hearing. And so we got to be in the Word of God if we want to hear from God. So he's primarily going to lead me through his Word. He's also going to lead us by his Spirit. We already established that. If you're born again, it's because the Spirit of God has made you alive and he indwells you. He is in you. So the Spirit of God saves you. You repent. You turn away from your sin and unbelief. You call on the name of the Lord. You trust in him. His Spirit makes you alive, takes up residence inside of you eternally. You are his, and the Spirit of God is in you. And the Spirit of God will convict you. The Spirit of God will comfort you. The Spirit of God will teach you and direct you. Jesus said when the Spirit comes, or the Comforter comes, so he comforts, he's going to teach you, and he's going to guide you into all truth. He'll bring to remembrance the things that God has told you from his word. Have you ever experienced that? Man, I love it. There's sometimes when we go door to door sharing the gospel with people, and you know, you kind of have some things that you say. You know, you introduce yourself, tell them where you're from and why you're there and all those things. But sometimes in the middle of the conversation, things just go away you didn't expect, or they ask a question you weren't ready for or whatever. But I've always been amazed when the Spirit of God just kind of takes over. And scriptures are coming to mind that I haven't thought of in years. And God just steps in. If you've never experienced that, it's an amazing thing. And I think all of us can and should experience that. Because he guides us, he teaches us, he shows us, he brings those things to remembrance. So he's going to lead us by his Spirit. Have any of you ever experienced the conviction of the Lord? Yes. Then you know what I'm talking about. Okay, let me ask you this. Have you ever experienced the conviction of the Lord? Let's say you're in a situation and there's a decision to be made, and you know there's an opportunity to do something that you should not do, and you're convicted that you should walk away. Anybody ever experienced that? Thank you. Okay? Okay, so there's a conviction that comes when you're faced with temptation, and God is faithful and he won't allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So you come into the situation, you're like, this is a bad situation. You get that sense in your heart and your mind, you're like, I know I should not be here and I should not do this. And he gives you an opportunity, he convicts you and he guides you and he leads you the other way. Friends, that's how he leads us. Some of you have all said, yeah, I've experienced that. Some of you experienced this too. Have you ever ignored the conviction and stepped into the sin? Yeah, amen. And then you get to experience a different kind of conviction. And I don't know how it works in your heart and mind, but for me, when I've been in that situation, I've stepped over the line, I did what I knew I shouldn't do, and immediately the Spirit of God gets me. And all of that desire that I had in the flesh and in the mind, the desire to step into that sin, has now vanished. And now I hate what I've done. Isn't that amazing? How this thing that was so enticing, now I despise it. And the Lord convicts in a different way. You know what you have then? He's leading you in that conviction to turn around. It's called repentance. I've done something that I knew God wanted me to stay away from. I've done something I knew that he wanted me not to do, and now he's drawing me to repent. And you know what? God just gives us choice after choice after choice, and you have an opportunity in that place to turn around. And if you will confess, he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So in that moment, you can turn around. You can fall on your face before God. You can ask him to forgive you, and he will. And then you can get up. And you can walk in that forgiveness because he actually does forgive. I need you to hear me today. He really does truly, fully forgive. And you can get up. And we usually call this forgiving ourselves. I want to argue with that a little bit. I don't think you need to forgive yourself. Okay, I know, well, people tell me all the time, well, I know I've asked God to forgive me, but I'm having a hard time forgiving myself. I'm going to tell you something. You're not in a position to be forgiven. Like, you're the one who sinned. Okay? Don't take this harder than I mean it. Here's what I'm trying to explain to you. It's not about you forgiving yourself. It's about you actually accepting the fact that he has forgiven you. Do you see the difference? Well, I need to forgive myself for what I've done. No, what you need to do is get up and realize that Jesus, his blood has taken away your sin. That he is faithful and just, and he has justly and rightly taken away your sin, and you can actually get up and walk in that forgiveness. And then it's not about me. It's not about me forgiving myself. It's about the fact that he has forgiven me. And that's where we need to walk. So he's going to lead me. It's not always negative. He leads us in the right way. How about this? You ever been convicted to do something good? He doesn't just say, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. No, he's also there saying, go here, go there. Do this, do that. And you know what there is? On the other side of obedience, there is blessing and joy and peace. Every time. Okay. Something simple. How many of you have your phone with you like when you wake up in the morning? Anybody? I don't know if you get convicted about this, but I'm weird. I'm not trying to put my conviction on you. I'm just weird. Like, I don't want to, when I, some of you guys, I know it's weird, you guys got different things. I had to move my Facebook app on my phone to a harder place to get to. Okay, you know why I did that? Because no matter what was going on, if I stopped for a second, I'd pull my phone out and open Facebook and start scrolling. I mean, just all the time. Wake up in the morning, check Facebook. Brushing my teeth, checking Facebook. I mean, I don't know if you guys are like that or not. Standing in line somewhere. Like, it didn't matter. Everywhere I was. And I got to a place where this is stupid. But I got convicted about it because I don't want the first thing I do in the morning is to scroll Facebook. It's not that I don't love you guys and want to see what's going on. I just want to get in God's word first. So I kind of have this thing where I'm going to get in my Bible before I'm going to scroll through Facebook. And I fell at that all the time. But that's just my conviction. That's my conviction. Okay? I'm not trying to put that on you. I'm just saying that I have a choice, that I'm going to put God first, and God's leading me in that. I promise you, I am far more blessed when I open my Bible and read God's word than I am when I open Facebook and scroll. Amen? Because some of it's good. You guys share praise reports. God's done something good, and it's awesome, and I love that. But then it's just a bunch of Christians arguing about nonsense. And then it's people fighting about politics. And some of you guys and some of your friends make political posts, and it's everything I can do to just keep scrolling. Because I want to jump right in the middle of it. And pretty soon, I don't have joy. I'm mad. So why? Why? And then I'm depressed because I read about something that happened on the other side of the world. I want to help you out today. God didn't design you to carry the burdens of the world. He designed you. We're supposed to bear one another's burdens. But we're supposed to bring our burdens to him. Right? Okay. Listen, I'm trying to help you today. And I'm telling you that God's going to lead you by his word and through his spirit. And he's not only going to convict you of things not to do, but he's going to convict you of things to do. He's going to put that in your heart, a desire to read his word, a desire to pray, a desire to tell other people about him, to do what's right. He's going to help you with that. He's going to lead through his spirit. He's also going to do it through God-ordained authorities. God-ordained authorities. They're all over our lives, and God did that. And I know some of this is going to kind of come hard for some of you. And there's some things like parents. Parents are godly authorities. Some of you grew up with parents who weren't godly people, who didn't do godly things. And you go, well, how could they be godly authorities? Well, in some sense, they were, and they had a responsibility. Whether they lived up to that responsibility or not is not the question. They were a godly authority in your life. God puts you under teachers or at your job, bosses in the church, your pastors. Like, we have leaders in our lives, godly authorities, and you can go to them for guidance. There's wisdom in the multitude of counselors. And God will put godly counselors in your life to help you, But he's going to do it first through his word and his spirit. And then he puts godly counselors in your life to help you. Let me tell you how he doesn't lead, because we got to get both sides right. God does not lead you by your heart. Your heart is deceitful and wicked. It's so deceitful and wicked, it's beyond knowing. Please hear me today. Listen, I grew up in the Disney generation before Disney got so woke and messed up that you can't even watch their stuff anymore. Like, I grew up in a generation where there was like an actual moral to the story and some things like that. But Disney's been wrong as long as they've been around, because Disney taught you to follow your heart. Don't follow your heart. Your heart's dumb. Our hearts are corrupted. That's why God had to give you a new heart. So what's the new heart? Well, that's the Spirit of God. Follow him. Okay? Some of you are already looking at me bad. Like, what about Jiminy Cricket? He said to follow your conscience. Let your conscience be your guide. I'm going to tell you this. Follow God's word. Especially when it contradicts your feelings. Okay? Your feelings are liars. They're right, Abigail. My kids hate it when I point them out in sermons, by the way. That's why I like to do it. Abigail's our oldest, if you don't know her. She's a girl. So she deals with feelings. Right? Feelings. Not that guys don't, it's just different with girls. I don't know if you're aware of this either. I'm trying to give you truth today. Boys and girls are different. Truth the world doesn't know today. Today at 10, truth the world doesn't know. Okay. Girls deal with emotions different than guys do. And so a lot of times Abigail and I would have conversations about the fact that feelings are liars. It's not that feelings are bad. It's just that you can't trust them. What feelings are good. They're alarm systems. Feelings, when you get in your feels, that means that something's going on you need to examine. But you need to examine it biblically. Right? You gotta understand. I'm not saying feelings are wrong or emotions are wrong to have. I'm just saying that you can't trust them. I just feel like this is the right thing. Well, what does the Bible say? Okay? All right. Well, at least Brother Mike's with me. How does he lead? By his word, by his spirit, through God-ordained authorities. Don't trust your heart or your feelings. God does not lead you through the stars. You may not think it's important to say this today, but somebody in this place reads their horoscope every day. Can I just tell you, you're far better off to read Peanuts. You're better off to read a Far Side calendar every day. Anything that you could read would be better than the horoscope. I remember a story one time. A guy was in the airport, and he was scared to death because his horoscope told him that, I don't know, something ominous, and he was scared he was going to die on the flight. And there was a Christian witnessing to him, and he said, listen, I would rather trust the one who made the stars than what somebody thinks the stars say. Amen? Listen, he's not going to lead you by your heart or your feelings or through the stars. And he's not going to lead you through Christless peers. What do I mean by that? You have godly influences in your life. You can go to them for counsel. But don't go to your lost friends and ask them for advice. They're not going to lead you in the right way. And people do it all the time. Kids do it all the time. They're like, my parents say this, but I'm going to go see what my friends say. Because their brains are underdeveloped and they don't believe in Jesus, so they'll have the right answers. I mean, that's the blind leading the blind. Please be smart. Follow the Lord. This is incredible to me. God says, David says, he leadeth me. The creator of the universe is leading us, and we're trying to listen to anybody else. I know this is what the Lord wants me to do, but, well, how stupid is that? The God of the universe has your best interest at heart. Your lost friends, they don't. Because they don't even know what your best interests are. So be careful who you listen to. Be careful who you follow. Pray fervently and faithfully. Pray fervently and faithfully. Study God's word consistently and carefully. And seek godly counsel wisely and regularly. Let me give that to you one more time. Pray fervently and faithfully. You want to know what God wants you to do? Ask him. Number two, study God's word consistently and carefully. What do I mean? Get in the word every day. Every day. Every day. And study it carefully. We're not just reading through it real fast to check it off a list. We want to hear from God. Be careful in your studies. And then seek godly counsel wisely and regularly. Be careful who you go to for counsel and go to them regularly. I've seen people make major life decisions without even praying about it. Don't do that. Don't do that. We got some young people in the room, and some maybe they're watching online that are of marrying age. We got a wedding coming up in just less than 3 weeks, right? That's crazy. Y'all look confused. Chloe's getting married in like 3 weeks. Isn't that nuts? I mean, she's just a little girl. These young people will go out and find somebody to marry without even praying about it. They don't talk to their parents about who they're going to date. Guys, that's crazy. Amen. Other than getting saved, like getting who you marry is one of the biggest decisions you'll ever make in your life. And you're going to do that without praying about it or seeking godly counsel? That's crazy. Amen. Don't be crazy. Pray. Seek godly counsel. Study God's word. Okay, so that's how he leads. Let me ask you this question. Where does he lead? Where does he lead? He leads to green pastures. He leads beside still waters. He leads in paths of righteousness. He leads through the valley of the shadow of death, but he also leads to victory and a place at his table in his house forever. So he leads. There's going to be the good, the green pastures, a place where you can lay down in absolute safety, still waters where you can safely drink of the water of life, but he's also going to lead you through the valley of the shadow of death, and sometimes you got to get through the valley before you can get to the mountaintop. He's going to lead you through all kinds of things, and some of it you're going to love, and some of it you're not going to love, but it's all for his glory and your good. So follow him. Follow him. And why does he lead? Look at it. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, it's no wonder to me, it's no surprise to me, there are a lot of Christians today who get the idea that everything in the Bible and everything in the world is really about them. Like, it's about me, it's about me, it's about you getting what you want, it's about you getting blessed by God, and if you'll just send $1,000, then God will. Oy vey. It's no surprise when you look into the Bible and you see how much God loves us and how much he's done for us that you get the sense that it's about you. But friend, I want you to know something. It's really ultimately not about you. It's about him. He does it all ultimately for his name's sake, and he is going to get glory. And let me give you a solemn warning as we wrap it up this morning. God will get glory from you one way or another. Hear this. He wants to get glory from you because you believe him. He wants to get glory from you because you believe in him, you trust in him, and you follow him. And when you do that, he leads you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In other words, for his glory, to show that he is who he says he is, he does what he says he'll do, and he blesses those who believe him and follow him. Okay? He will get glory if you'll trust in him and follow him. But be warned, if you're in this room or watching online and you are not believing in Jesus, you've not been saved, you're not trusting in him, he will get glory in your life too. He'll get glory. He'll get glory in the judgment and wrath that he pours out on unbelievers. Because he did everything, friend. He loved you, and he gave himself for you, and he wants to redeem you. No matter what, he's going to get glory one day. So what are you going to do? He's leading. He is leading. But will you follow? This morning, somebody in the room watching online has never been saved. Today, you know. If I ask you the question, if you died today, do you know for sure you'd spend eternity with God in heaven? There are people who hear that question, know in their hearts, I know that I'm not saved. I know I'm not going to heaven when I die. I know I'm on my way to hell. Friend, I want you to know God loves you and Jesus died for you. He paid the price. And if you'll turn away from your sin and unbelief, you'll trust in him, he will save you. What does that look like? Well, it looks like this. Believe that Jesus died for you and rose again. And call on his name. Ask him to save you. And he will. He's leading you to salvation. This morning, if you're saved, he's leading you in paths of righteousness. That means that what we need to do is if we have gone the wrong way, made the wrong decisions, we've stepped over into sin, that we need to confess and we need to repent today. And if you are a believer who has not confessed or repented of some sin, he is leading you to repent. And if you're walking with him today and you're in a really good place, then he is leading you to keep walking in those paths of righteousness. We're all going to stumble and fall sometimes. We're all going to stumble and fall sometimes. But he is there to lift you up and help you keep walking. Let's stand together. We're going to have our musicians come. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You can follow him today without fear, because he is with you. You trust in him today and he'll save you. You can keep following him today. And remember this, we follow him first and then we help other people follow him so that they can follow him too. If he's convicting your heart about any decision you need to make for Christ today, you come while we sing.
Page 573.